From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A live look inside Everbank Field. Preparations for the Monster Jam are underway. That's this Saturday inside Everbank. We come inside the Jaguars' offices at the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with you. This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Plenty to get to today. Roy Miller is our guest, the Jaguars' defensive tackle. We'll catch up with him about the offseason. A lot of changes on the defensive side of the ball already. A combine preview with CBSSports.com senior NFL writer Will Brinson. He'll join us over the phone as well. We welcome in John Osier, and we welcome in Roy Miller. What's up, man?
And don't even try to tell me you're not going to be at the Monster Jam. By the way,
I've never been to one.
Oh, you'll be.
Roy, you've been to
one? You've been here in spirit.
Oh, yeah.
You've been to one, right?
I've been the last 2 years.
I can't wait
to get my cowboy boots and my cut off shorts and head up to Everbank.
You're a Texas guy. I mean,
yeah,
that fits in, right?
Yeah, it's perfect.
That's perfect
for me.
Well, off season's here. I mean, what do you have? Like 10 kids, 15 kids? You got the family time. You got a little downtime now, right?
I do. And it's been good. I've been able to go spend time with my kids, drop them off at school. Just the little things that you don't really think about, but they mean so much to the kids and to you and a special time with us.
And for you in the off season, are you actually healthy this off season? I'm not sure you have been since I've known you.
No, I am healthy. I'm good. I'm working. After every season, everybody has some sort of L's and aches and stuff like that. And so I'm just working to balance everything up to kind of prolong my playing time, and I think I'm doing pretty good with that this far.
And and trying to be cute with that, you have come off some fairly serious injuries going into each of the last two off seasons, and I know it's important for players. It's always good when you don't have to do that during the off season because you can actually prepare for the following season rather than rehab, right?
Right. I mean, last year I missed the whole off season, and I got to go into one OTA,
right?
And that's not good because you need to be out there with your teammates. They need to understand how you play, your strengths, your weaknesses. They need to be able to play off of you. And,
right.
And when you don't go out there with them, you know, they don't know what they're getting into, who they're playing with until, preseason game or training camp. And that's too much time to lose. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's valuable that I can go out there with them and we can play off each other and just take our game to a new level.
And I guess it would be good this offseason because Dante Fowler is going to be coming in and playing a significant role and moving around. So it'll be good to be able to be on the field in the offseason with him as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I think everybody in Duval can't wait to see him go out there and make some plays, and I'm no different. I'm looking forward to seeing him and teaching him what I know and playing next to him, showing him, this is how I'm going to set the edge, or I'm going to take this double team on so you can play a little bit faster here or there. And those types of things are invaluable in the offseason. And that's why, as you said earlier, we need to get together and do those things.
Roy Miller is with us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. The big change on defense so far, Roy, is a new coordinator. Todd Wash has been elevated from your room. Well, he's actually still in the room. He's still the D-line coach, but now the defensive coordinator. You've known Todd for a long time, though. Didn't you have him in Tampa, too?
Yeah. He was my coach my rookie year in Tampa and for, I think, 3 years there. And really, he was the main reason why when I got the call here, I was like, I got to go over there and play with Wash. Just a great coach. I mean, he's one of the best that I've been around, and I'm lucky to be here and playing under him.
What makes him a great coach? Clearly, when it happened, you came out on Twitter, you're fired up about it, you came here for him. But what is it about him specifically that gives you the confidence?
You know, his approach to the game, I haven't been around too many coaches that can relate to players, but at the same time can hold them accountable in the same way. Most of the time you get like a guy that's all the way to the right or all the way to the left, and he's super, nice with everybody. And then you got the coaches all the way to the right that's strict and all that kind of stuff. And so you rarely can find one in the middle that can contain like the Sendericks in the room, but then be able to, be loose enough to kind of, to talk with those guys and make cut jokes and all that kind of stuff. But beyond that, he cares about the game so much. you know, having a coach like that is so important because you feel like players mirror their coaches. You mirror the type of intensity, the detailed, and the emphasis that they put, you know, in their coaching style. And so I think, you know, like one of Wash's biggest sayings is like toughness, effort, and discipline. And those are his fundamental beliefs, in the room. And so, he really emphasized that all the time, and he holds us to a very, very high standard. And in turn, I think we accept that and we take that as a challenge. Even, you know, throughout the year, we talked about, you know, hey, we got sacks or we're stopping the run, but hey, we need to do a little bit better by doing these little things that'll make us better. And so he's always that coach that can find that fine line to where he can sit there and be, the tough coach, but he can also relate to the players. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to bring to the table.
It sort of feels in the locker room like the guys believe he's ready for this step too. He's ready for the coordinator role, and it seems pretty universal in the locker room. The guys are for this.
Right. I mean, he knows every single position on the field. You know, there's been times where guys come up to him and ask about coverage, and he knows it all. And, you know, he has so much knowledge of this game, and he's able to tell us, like, hey, you know, the single high safety, you see, on this play, you're probably going to get double teamed because the safety is going to show on the left side. And, I mean, just little things like that he teaches us in the line. That's important that he knows this defense. He knows the personnel that we have, very well. And I think he knows how to use every single player within the defense. And most importantly, I think he's going to keep us all held to a high, very high standard, and all those things. For that reason, I think I'm excited for him to be the defensive coordinator.
You guys do have some work to do on that side of the ball. 24th overall last year, struggles on third downs. We know about that. The passing numbers not great, but against the run last year, that's where you guys, that was your bread and butter, stopping the run game up front, starting with you and Audric and those guys up front. That was a big part of the defense last year, stopping the run.
Yeah, no doubt. That was huge for us coming the year before or when I first got here, we were last or something like that. And to kind of get the pieces in place and for all the guys to understand the defense, it takes time. And I think we're getting the right player. We got the right players in the right positions. We'll be happy to have, Dante back and all, you know, a bunch of other guys and that will definitely help us. But we, like you said, we have to improve. And that's something we know we have to do. We've been in positions where we should have gotten off the field. We should have just put pressure on the quarterback and made it easier on the secondary. But for whatever reason, you know, we had those issues and we have to fix them this year.
Speaking of fixing that, you might add some parts. Free agency camp last year, the Jags did a lot of work in free agency. A handful of guys came in who contributed right away. So is there a recruiting process? Are you guys part of that when free agency opens up? How does that work for guys on a roster? And how were you, I guess, were you recruited at all by any Jags when you came here?
No. You know, that process is so, I guess, behind doors that we might go by Dave and make a comment or so about somebody, you know, just kind of messing around. But those guys handle that, and I think they do a good job. And, I mean, you never know the details of guys' contracts and all that kind of stuff. So I just personally try to stay away from it and just kind of watch it from the outside looking in.
One thing people always ask is how far is the defense away? And as you hear from players and coaches, they don't think it's that far. There were things you guys did well, and with a couple of pieces, there is a feeling that this thing can get going right. Feel the same way?
Yes, because if you watch a lot of games, I mean, busted coverages, tackles that you don't normally miss, coverages you don't normally mess up, those were the things that kind of bit us in the butt. I mean, there's some things we could work on as far as, you know, pass rush, and somewhat of that can – you know, you can blame on whatever personnel, that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, we really messed up, you know, simple things that shouldn't have happened. And so when you got that scenario and you can fix things that are simple like that, you have every right to feel like you can be so much better. And that's why I'm pretty excited about Wash, because he's not going to let people fall underneath his standard, especially football 101. You know, I think as fans, as everybody, it was tough watching, you know, certain plays where you're like, dang, you should have made that tackle, or man, why was that guy open, or man, why is the quarterback not just standing back there, not even being touched? And we all see that too, and we all are looking for the same solution. And anyway, I think those problems can be addressed quickly, and mainly by, you know, a guy like Wash that can bring in his standard.
How excited are you for this year? Meaning, I remember talking to you last year a lot, and when it got close, and there were times where it was close to that playoff run, and the passion you feel is always off the charts to me. But how excited are you to see what this can turn into next year? Because I know you feel like this is close.
Yeah, I do. And I thought, you know, we were close last year. Mm-hmm. And so it's frustrating for me right now to think about it. But I really think we have the pieces in place. With the free agent moves that they're going to make, I'm sure they're going to be great. And we're going to become a better team in many ways. And so I hate to say, you know, how close or this or that. I just know that we have players on our defense that are dominant players, and we have little mistakes that are very elementary that we made. And if you take those little mistakes away and you put the players in place and they're held to a high standard, I think that's the recipe for success and defensively. And I think we're not far from that. It just needs to happen. I share that frustration.
Right.
As a leader of the team, I feel like a lot of times it's my fault. Maybe I didn't say something here or there, or I watched this happen, or, you know, and so I share that frustration, but I'm to the point where I want to take this to a whole nother level this year and have our teammates, you know, join. I mean, all of us together join towards that cause and start something new.
Social media. I know you're a big social media guy, right, Roy?
No. I got the account.
Scary out there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say anything no more, man. I tell a joke, and I get like 1,000 people, you know, trolling me, man. And I do, but I don't. So
okay, well, let's do today.
I tell a joke, and I just get silenced, JP.
That's right. Social media questions, a couple of them here. You kind of touched on this a moment ago from the Supple Effect. This is off Instagram. Any potential free agents you'd like to play with next season? But I know you like to stay away from that in general, don't you?
Yeah, man. Obviously, I like to play with all my teammates I have right now. I think, man, just watching the playoffs, man, watching that guy, Von Miller, I mean, he was an animal out there. You know, DeMarcus Ware, those guys.
Those kind of guys never come free, though. I mean, if you have performance like that.
I mean, you know, I respected their performance in the Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, there's so many guys in the league that are so talented. You know, I just, at the end of the day, my teammates are good. And whoever we bring in, I'm sure they're going to help us tremendously.
It's a great team leader answer there. Bigfoot 26, how did you pick your number?
97 was, so my mentor growing up was Tommy Harris. He's from the same city I'm from and all that. And so I got to watch him play at Oklahoma, really where he turned into a star. I mean, he came out and I won every award possible, and you know, I ride up there with his parents, go to his game, and he's still to this day. I talk to him, mentors me through things he's going through. And so anyway, I decided that I'd dedicate that number to him, you know, for all that he's done for me in my life.
Good player for a long time.
Absolutely. And one final question, I guess, for me. A couple years ago, there was a Kicking It with Scobie segment that asked, what did you buy with your first paycheck? And you said, do you remember what you said?
Yeah.
What was it?
Clash of Clans gems. Yeah.
You still play Clash of Clans?
You know, I do. Unfortunately, I do. I'm starting to realize that it's a bit of another rat race that I don't need to try to run. You spend $20 and you realize how fast those gems go, and then and you do it again the next month. It's just you just say, "Oh man, that was dumb," and then you just do it again. And so that's been one of the problems with Clash of Clans. And I think I need to delete the game off my phone.
That's a good idea, Roy. I don't know.
I know we're trying to get out of here, but you told a story. You actually went as Halloween, as Cinderic Marks once. Is that correct?
I did.
People need to hear that story.
Oh, man. I think it was 2 years ago. I was looking for something to wear, and it just came down.
And you chose that?
I just wanted to scare everybody, man. And so I decided to get, the dreadlocks and the gold teeth and all that kind of stuff. And I had this 99 shirt on and stuff. I'm getting ready to leave the house. And for some reason, my kids think I was born with no hair. So, like, I had the dreadlock wig on or whatever. And I'm walking out, and my daughter just starts crying. She's like, "Daddy, no, you're not supposed to have hair." Like, I can't believe it. She really thought, like, I had hair out of nowhere. And
that's great.
I think more importantly, like you said, she was just scared that I looked like Cinderic. So
that'll scare you straight. That's for sure.
There's got to be a photo terrifying. Of that somewhere, right?
PTSD, huh?
There's
got to be a photo of that somewhere.
Somewhere, right?
You tweet
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
out,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll find it.
Roy, we appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on with us today.
Thank you, guys.
Roy, as always.
Roy Miller joining us here on Jaguars.com Live. Join us at the Combine next week in Indianapolis, the 22nd through the 27th. We'll be at Lucas Oil Stadium in the Media Center with live coverage. Special guests, including Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, will join us throughout the week. That's right here on Jaguars.com. We go each and every year, and always a big event in Indianapolis. We welcome in senior correspondent Brian Sexton. It's tough to beat Roy Miller. Pretty good one.
Yeah, and it wasn't asked in the segment because you don't really ask a guy like this, but a very, very, very good player who had a really good year last year, probably could have been under Pro Bowl consideration had the team been better. And a big reason they were so good against the run for so long was Roy Miller.
He's not as loud as Cinderic, but he says just as much.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another guy who for a long time around here was a big part of this organization, then moved on to Detroit, has now announced his retirement. Rasheen Mathis, a cornerback, is done after a lengthy career, I think a decade here in Jacksonville. Where does he rank in the all-time spectrum of Jaguar great players?
Well, I mean, he leaves with the most takeaways in Jaguars history. I think the best defensive player to ever play here was Tony Brackens. I mean, if you just watched him, and I've been doing some archive work with a lot of the video that we have around here, and Brackett, he's special. I think you have to put him number two because of, and see, he played in an era where there weren't a lot of huge moments because the Jaguars weren't that good. But if there were defensively, he delivered. He delivered interceptions for touchdowns. He delivered big tackles and pass breakups. So, I mean, of his era, that Jack Del Rio era, he's the best defensive player right there with Darryl Smith.
He was a really good player. Again, I was not here, but I covered the Colts who played this team, and it was Stroud, Henderson, and it was Rasheen Mathis for that period that you worried about if you were game planning for this team. Darryl Smith as well. What always struck me about Rasheen, I only covered him 2 years, his last 2 years, and he was going through ACL problems. He was not playing, I wouldn't think, at the level that he wanted to because of injury. But what a class act, and a guy who was always willing to be a leader in the locker room. And that's what I'll remember from him is his graciousness, and he truly appreciated the opportunity to play this game. And I could see in dealing with him for 2 years why he had been so good for so long, because he really was a true professional.
He was so calm. Stroud and Henderson were not. I mean, they were the guys in the middle, and they were a bit frenetic. And there were moments where you could get either one of them and wish that you had to stop them in the locker room. But that was never the case. Never the case with Rasheen, who will come back here, and people will see him at the beach, yeah, or they'll see him at St. Johnstown Center, and they'll say, "Hey, Rasheen," and he'll stop and talk, yeah, and just be a normal person. I think he said it. He got the chance to play in front of his high school teammates and a lot of college teammates from down the road. I want to remind people, he came in here as a rookie free safety. He was not drafted to play corner.
That's right.
But they needed him to play corner, and he did, and turned out to be a really good one.
And that's not, 13 years in the NFL and still starting in your last year.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't happen all the time,
no,
in the defensive backfield. So credit to him.
Time for a game we call
This or That. This or That.
It's called This or That. Today's question, what positions will you watch at the Combine that are under the radar for the Jaguars? We all know about pass rush, safety. What else stands out?
Well, it's hard to watch them at the Combine because these positions that are under the radar are going to be so far down the draft that it's not like we're going to write, hey, I think they're taking this guy in the fifth round.
Right.
But interior offensive line and running back and perhaps even linebacker to try to get faster at those spots, I think are spots where they will go, possibly some Senior Bowl guys, but I think that's where their later round are going to be spent. Interior offensive line, running back, and finding speed all around the defense.
I'm going to take it a different angle. I'm going to take it where they should go, and I'm going to say it's time to start looking in the later rounds for another quarterback. And I go back to the Rob Johnson.
You're down on Blake.
No. I love Blake, but and I keep hearing, well, they've got their quarterback. And I go back to conversations, with Vic Ketchman and Pete Prisco and you and all those guys for years and years. You can never stop looking at the position. And Rob Johnson here, they didn't need him in 1995.
Right.
They had Steve Berline they picked up at the first pick of the expansion draft, and they made the trade for Mark Brunell, and they knew that he was going to be the guy. And they still took Rob Johnson because there was value there, and turned out okay. He became Fred Taylor.
And even if all-time leading rusher. That, Brian, it can be difficult when you have a young guy who you know is the guy, and Blake Bortles is the guy. But when you get that, it can be hard to get a quality veteran backup. I don't know what the future for Chad Henne is.
Well, who does?
But if he does leave, then all of a sudden you are trying to go find a veteran backup. Well, oftentimes the veteran backups like to go somewhere where they think, okay, maybe this guy isn't quite the guy. So you have a tough time finding a really good backup. So if you draft that backup, then you have him for an extended period of time. So that could be a factor as well.
Yeah, I think down the line, sixth, seventh round, and I think every year you're looking at those guys thinking, is there a guy that I need from a developmental standpoint? Maybe you draft a guy with the sixth round pick and he doesn't pan out. But, they didn't need Tom Brady in that 2000 draft. And famously, Bill Belichick in the sixth round wanted a cornerback, as the story goes. And a veteran scout convinced him, no, this guy's pretty good, and, Bledsoe's not getting younger, so let's find a guy. Turned out okay. A little closer to home, Kirk Cousins. Again, fourth round pick. They didn't need to take him. They'd taken RG3. But there was value there. They took him, and now with RG3 out, Cousins makes sense. Again, Bortles is the guy. He's your man. But if you draft one and you need him, you're glad you did. And if you draft one and you don't need him, someone else might.
Tickets for the 2016 season are available now. Renewals are out in your inbox. One-click renewal at jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Good home slate this year. Houston, Tennessee here at the bank in the division. The world champions are here. Denver, Green Bay, Minnesota, Oakland, and Baltimore. The Indianapolis game, by the way, is in London this season. We go to the phone line and welcome in our next guest today from CBSSports.com, senior NFL writer Will Brinson. Will, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing great. I would ask you how your off season's going, but it looks like you're trading tweets with J.J. Watt about breakfast food. So there's your answer right there.
So my off season's going fantastic. My wife went on a Panthers-esque run of making breakfast burritos, and it's kind of honed her craft. And so she's been on fire with that. I would say she had a 15-1 season when it comes to breakfast burritos. And I've been I'm also a big brunch fan. So all of this that J.J. Watt is talking about is very much in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, a way to get it started though. We end the 2015 NFL season now. The Super Bowl's over. This is that transition time, though. It's time to start looking ahead towards the draft and the combine and all that. It's kind of the in-between period, right? For you guys, right?
Yeah, it's done, and the NFL does it, and I think they do it on purpose, and that's totally fine. But they do it on purpose so that way, there's this. I think we're in the middle of a 7-day dead period, and then the off season kicks off. And I'm sure it's the same for you guys because of the salary cap situation, especially in Jacksonville, that it's almost more hectic when you're dealing with the off season because you're trying to track so many different things going in so many different directions. You have so many free agency rumors. You have all these different dates that just creep up on everything. And the NFL does a good job of keeping the sport relevant for nearly 12 months out of the year. I mean, I think they do a pretty good job getting nine of the 12, which is pretty impressive, but sometimes frustrating for spouses and significant others.
Well, John Osier, and I know that's music to your ears to hear I'm on the phone with you, but as you go into the combine and you talk about free agency, so many people talking about the names Von Miller and Josh Norman and those guys. Is there anybody on these lists that people are assuming aren't going to be available that you think will, if you follow me?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Osh. And hearing your voice makes my day.
It's like music, right?
I'll go from like a C-plus to a B-minus now. I mean, that's what kind of day I'm having. I think when you start looking at the guys, you know, I mean, Von Miller and Josh Norman and Muhammad Wilkerson are the names that get bandied about. But, I mean, let's be realistic. Those guys are not making it out of free agency. I mean, I would be willing to buy J.J. Watt breakfast for a year if Von Miller actually became
right.
a free agent. And the same thing with Josh Norman, really, because I think the Panthers will make sure to keep him. He's a 28-year-old corner. But I think you start to look at Denver's defense, and it was a historically great defense. And then, you know, maybe you look at the secondary in Kansas City, and you start to talk about guys, you know, like Eric Berry, Sean Smith. You know, with Denver, you have a lot of free agents. Malik Jackson is a guy that had an incredible run in the playoffs. So I don't think those guys are necessarily surprises, but I think you start to look at those guys as sort of A-list talent that probably wouldn't make it to the market were it not for the presence of other guys who will potentially be franchise tagged. And when you start talking about a team like Jacksonville that would love to increase its pass rush, certainly you're getting Dante Fowler back, but if you can, you know, you beef up the interior there, it's going to make it easier for the pass rush. You make the pass rush better, makes it easier for the secondary. And so I think there are a lot of, you know, maybe some things lining up for the Jaguars in terms of availability for guys in the free agency market and needs on that defensive side of the ball.
What's your biggest combine story? Well, I mean, I know you're going in there and you're thinking about what you're going to write or talk about next week. But what are you anxious to see the most? Because it doesn't seem like a draft class. It doesn't have the Jameis Winston, Mariota hook of quarterbacks. So what are you looking for?
Well, I do think, you know, I don't think there's no Jameis Winston, you know, nobody who came in and lit up college football as a freshman and seemed predestined to be the number one pick. You know, there's no Mariota, but I do think that this group of guys is going to be really interesting, particularly relative to how they work out, because when you start talking about the quarterbacks who are available, and I think the consensus top three, you know, Jared Goff from Cal, Carson Wentz from North Dakota State, right? Isn't that the
yeah.
Dunk State?
hey, careful. Gus Bradley went to North Dakota State now, Will.
I love North Dakota. I'm just kidding. I've been horseback riding in North Dakota plenty of times. Who hadn't?
Haven't we all?
And then, of course, Paxton Lynch. And I think what's interesting about these three guys is, you know, you have Goff from this system. You know, remember, Mariota got lit up from being from this high-octane system.
Right.
You know, how's he going to transition? And you have the same sort of situation with Goff. Wentz clearly came out of nowhere. I've been telling my friends who aren't, you know, who don't, you know, non-work friends who, you know, don't follow the NFL religiously that you watch out, because after the combine, this Carson Wentz hype train is going to be out of control when he goes in there and lights it up, because he, you know, he looks good in workouts. He's got the sort of the size, sort of Bortles-esque in terms of the physique and what you want from a big physical quarterback. And then, of course, Paxton Lynch. Remember, he kind of came on strong too, and he's a guy with, you know, all the physical tools, but we don't know how it's going to translate. And you always have guys. I mean, you know this. You always have teams in that first round that are going to need quarterbacks. There just aren't 32 good NFL quarterbacks. And until a team finds that franchise guy, they're going to be interested. So I think there might be a little sneaky movement here with the Titans holding Mariota and sitting there at number one and potentially trying to move out for maybe an RG3 light type of deal. They're not going to get that sort of haul, but to try to move out there, I think that's sort of the story. How do these three guys shake out once the combine ends? And also, how do the teams that are quarterback needy start to look at those guys and the maneuvering that they have to do in order to get up there and secure a potential franchise quarterback?
A little known secret, Will, is that you're kind of a closet Jags fan, closet Jacksonville
right.
guy. You know, so I know you follow this team, and you maybe watch it a little more closely than a lot of national guys. What are your thoughts as this regime goes into year four?
Yeah, my grandfather was an OG Jacksonville Jaguar season ticket holder, and I've been coming to Jacksonville for, well, I mean, both my grandparents passed, so we're not down there as much as often, but all my mom's family's from there. So I grew up watching it on, you know, when we come down for sure. Thanksgiving every year. And I think when you look at this team, you know, it's funny because they hired Gus Bradley. He, as a Seahawks defensive coordinator, you expect him to come in. The defense is going to be great. It's looked good at times under Gus. And then all of a sudden last year, the offense just takes off. And it's a real testament to the way that Dave Caldwell, in my opinion, decided to build this roster, because you have to have the conviction to go out and draft a quarterback that you believe in. And he did that in Blake Bortles. And Blake, who to me is a franchise quarterback. I know there's like some internet, you know, people on the internet like to figure out ways to decide that somebody who throws for 30-plus touchdowns isn't a franchise quarterback.
The internet's
weird like that. And I think when you look at what he did, too, by surrounding Blake with two young receivers, and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, and then adding T.J. Yeldon as a back, you have to do that in this league. You know, it's great if you get the quarterback, but it doesn't do you much good if you don't get him some weapons as well. And I think the way that Dave was able to add those guys at the same, you know, sort of time as adding Blake allows that offense to grow together. And I think there are going to be a lot of people who are making predictions next year that are going to be on the Jaguars hype train as sort of that, kind of like the Vikings last year, the team that maybe is a sleeper to make the playoffs. You have a division that isn't the toughest in the world. You have an offense that people believe can take another step forward and maybe become more efficient and more dangerous. And then you have, you know, a defense that it's pretty clear, given the money available in free agency to Jacksonville and with the salary cap and the players available, they're going to go out, spend on that defense to get better, probably spend on the offensive line to get better. And then, you know, you might have the opportunity to have two first-round picks coming back this year because you get Dante Fowler back. Maybe you get that pass rush going, and then you pick up another guy. You know, to me, that I know it doesn't really work where you get two first-round picks, but I look at it in those sort of terms because you're getting, you know, two high-end talents stepping in right away in 2016.
Will Brinson is with us from CBSSports.com, at Will Brinson on Twitter. We go to social media questions now, Will. This is from RJJCLU. Can you tell the Panthers not to franchise Josh Norman, please? That's his question.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be happy to. I can also tell the Panthers that they should move to the Bahamas. And I could tell the Panthers that they should stop serving sweet tea at their games. And none of those things are going to happen. And none of them should happen. Josh Norman's a 28-year-old cornerback who just had an incredible season. I don't think he's the greatest cornerback of all time in terms of being a shutdown guy. But, I mean, he plays really well in that defense. He's a North Carolina guy. They drafted him late, and it's paid off, and he's matured into a guy who is, you know, kind of changed the way he approaches the game. He studies hard. He works hard. Certainly an incredible talent. And when you have that sort of cornerback, you don't let him walk, especially when, you know, we're talking about the salary cap getting bumped up, maybe $154, $155 million, and then all of a sudden, it's fairly negligible in terms of what you have to pay Josh Norman on a single-year contract. Gives you the opportunity to work out something long-term. And I think, especially for where Dave Gettleman is with the Panthers, and you look at what they've done, he had a heck of a job to try and clean up the cap space there. He did a good job doing it, and now he wants to try and ink Josh Norman to a long-term deal so he can have that franchise tag available next year for a guy like Kawan Short, who's really disruptive in the interior. But, yeah, I think 100% chance that Josh Norman is with the Panthers next year.
Okay, Will, Osher's got you covered in Indy next week, so be ready for
that. We'll see you in Indy, Will.
Sounds good, guys. Take it easy.
All right, bye.
Will Brinson from CBSSports.com, a senior NFL writer. Good show today, guys.
Fantastic.
Nice job.
Roy Miller and Brian good. Sexton and Will Brinson and all the rest.
It's a star-studded cast. JP.
Quite a show today. For John Osher, Brian Sexton, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week at the Combine in Indianapolis on Jaguars.com Live.